Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen, sitting in for my wife, Prophetess Crystal McQueen, as she is on her way to the studio this evening. This is the Prophetic Atmosphere broadcast. And we're so happy that you have chosen to join us tonight. We know that definitely there is a word from the Lord, and it has your name written all over it. Amen. I'm going to ask you all to keep my wife, Prophetess Crystal, in prayer even as she comes this way. She got a call just prior to the broadcast, probably about 5 o'clock or so, concerning her grandmother passing. So we are praying and trusting God that He will take care of the family and cover us even as we are going forward. Tonight, before we get too deep into the broadcast, let me go ahead and give you the announcement. We'll go into prayer, and then we'll see what it is that the Lord is saying to us, His children, on tonight. Amen. In the way of announcements, every Tuesday at 7 p.m., join me for Kingdom Lifestyles broadcast. And every Thursday at 7 p.m., we have the Prophetic Atmosphere broadcast with Prophetess Crystal McQueen. Every Saturday at 9:30 a.m., join us in for the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries worship experience, as well as Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. We come together during the weekend on Saturday and Sunday to make sure that you have an opportunity to experience the power of God, the Word of God, the revelation that God has released into our spirits for the feeding of the sheep and the expanding of the kingdom of God. We are praying for those who are listening and for those who have tuned in and contacted us by Facebook and the website. We thank you for your donations. We thank you for your financial support and for your testimony. Amen. God is indeed doing great things for us. We do have, as I mentioned, a Facebook page for Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, as well as Woman of Prophetic Destiny, or WOPD, the acronym for it. Go there, like the page, leave us the message, let us know what God is doing in your life. We're excited to hear from you all, and we know that God is doing some great things, and he's going to continue to do some great things. Also, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. That's www.ctkr.org. There you'll learn more about us. I pray that you become a vision partner with this ministry. Help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. There are so many that we have who are part of our ministry. They are over in Kenya, Uganda, Nigeria, and also in Pakistan. We have been ministering to and with those who are in those areas. We have schools, orphanages, as well as those ministries that are there. And they need your financial support. If you have done mission work before, then you understand that the mission field is a needy place. It's a place where there's a lot of lack, and they need a lot of help and resource. So we pray that you would speak to the Holy Spirit and see what he says to you, and then respond to what we're asking you, because God will bless you. The Bible says very clearly, Proverbs 19 and 17, he who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and that which he has given he will repay. That's from the Amplified Version of the Bible. Amen. In Proverbs 28 and 27 in the Message Bible, it says, be generous to the poor, you'll never go hungry, but the eyes close your eyes to their needs and run a gauntlet of curses. In other words, God will bless you when you're sensitive to the needs of those who are poor. Amen. And when you act like you don't see nothing, then God will make sure that you understand their plight clearly. Amen. I don't want anybody to think for 1 minute or at all that God is not going to repay. Amen. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Amen. And we use that for offerings, but think about the things in your life, amen, that you could sow and you could do that you don't sow and you don't do. Amen. And those are still seeds. Amen. We have to look at how we are doing this so we can benefit in the kingdom of God and benefit the kingdom of God. Amen. God saved you with the purpose, and it's not just so that you can sit back and, you know, looky what I got. If he's given you anything, it's with a purpose in mind, and we have to be sensitive to the needs of those in the kingdom. Amen? Amen. So go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There you learn more about us. Become a vision partner with us. Your financial gift will help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Amen. And now, come on, let's go in prayer, and then we're getting into this word. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to come before your throne. We thank you, Lord, because you are mindful of us, even when we are not mindful of you. Thank you, Father, for loving us and for caring for us. Now, even now, Lord, we pray that you will guide our hearts and our minds, open up our understanding, speak through me, Lord. Give me that revelation that I need, Lord, in order to be articulate to those who are listening. Help me to explain the word of God clearly so that those who are under the sound of my voice can hear you and not me. I pray right now, Lord, that you would just guide our eyes and guide our ears, speak to us and through us so that your people will be developed and matured and go on to do the work that you've given them to do. We thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, and amen. Tonight, we are so grateful, amen, that God has given us the opportunity to minister again. Spoke to Prophetess earlier, and she told me that she was going to pick up in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, about the 14th verse, where we had left off. And I want to look at a few things here. We have to understand that God is trying to get us to see clearly, amen, that he set the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, and teacher in the body of Christ, or should I say even in your life, so that you can be developed and mature. Amen. Look what it says here in the 12th verse, Ephesians 4 and 12, for the equipment of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. 14th verse now, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Amen. Huh? By the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Amen. From whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective workings by which every part does its share. Amen. Causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now, when we begin to look here, we begin to see a lot of things. First of all, you are not called into an office, amen, just so you can get accolades for being the pastor, the apostle, the prophet, amen? Huh? We're not looking at you. You are the evangelist who showed up, amen? We're looking at the fact that when you got called into this calling, when grace was given to you, then there was an assignment that was also tethered to it. We have too many superstars in pulpits, amen, standing up and they're saying some of everything. And because they say it in such a way that it sounds Christian and it sounds right, people are grabbing a hold of it and they're running with it, amen. And as they are running with it, we are hearing, amen, those who know the word, they're speaking about what they're hearing, because it's not God. It has no God in it. Amen. I was sharing on social media a video that I saw, and one of the popular preachers or ministries, tens of thousands of members, amen, they got up and they began to speak that we're not doing this for God. We're doing this for us, and he's happy about that. Wait a minute, hold on now. We do this for him. We are to be to the praise of his glory, not the other way around. See, when you get it wrong, then you begin to think that we're supposed to do this, amen, so that we can benefit from him being here. But we're actually doing this so that he will make his abode with us. See, the Bible tells us that we should follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Thank God, prophetess has showed up. Amen. God bless you, prophetess.
Thank you. God bless
Amen.
You all.
Amen. Come on, pull up a chair. I'm going to give it over to you and let you take it on from here. Amen. So the thing is that as we look at how people are dealing, we see then that they are just doing some of any and everything, throwing, slapping, how do you say, slapping Jesus on it, and acting like this is really the best thing in the world, when all they're doing is trying to get the presence of the Lord in so that they can ask and benefit from him. But there's no personal development as far as their Christianity. So we have shallow saints who got just enough word to say that they're Christian, but they don't have enough meat in there for them to actually grow and be developed. And I don't care how much you like milk as an adult. If you don't put in anything, if you don't put in something more substantial, milk will not do you good. Amen? Huh? So we have to mature on from milk. And it is our job as the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher to do that. Equip the saints for the work of ministry. Edify the body. Mature us.
bring us into a full knowledge of God, amen, to a perfect man. And that word perfect means mature, amen,
amen.
To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Look at this, and this is where I'll go ahead and start transitioning, that we should no longer be children. I said it before, we need to grow up, amen. We got too many people sitting around trying to act like, you know, I don't have to grow up. God still loves me, even in my state. He working on me. Yes, he is. But he's working on you to mature and develop and grow up. So you need to stop making excuses and mature. Stop telling God what you can't do because it's hard, it's difficult, and crucify, or as the Bible says, mortify the flesh. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
See, we got to get back to preaching holiness. Amen. Without holiness, nothing good is going to come. We got a lot of good things, you know, thinking people, mm-hmm. good meaning people, but we don't have a lot of sanctified holy people. And without that, nothing, and I do mean nothing, is going to change. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Apostle, for that word that you have given us for your people. And I want to pick up right where he left off, people of God. First of all, God bless y'all, and thank you for being here. But listen, where he left off, he said, that we might be developed. I'm reading out the Amplified Version right now of Ephesians. He said, that we might be developed until we all attain oneness. That word unity, oneness, in the faith and in the comprehension of the full and accurate knowledge of the Son of God, that we might arrive at really mature manhood. Oh, that we might arrive. So what he's saying is that he has set in place, amen, the fivefold or the ascension gifts so that we, his people, the body of Christ, can begin to attain oneness, fully begin to mature and understand who God is, who Christ is, what his purpose for coming, and what his purpose is that he plays in our lives for his soon coming reign. Amen? And that we will not only attain oneness in the faith and in comprehension, that we will fully understand and be accurate in the knowledge of who Christ is. Because everybody right now has an interpretation who they think Christ is.
Yeah, they got an idea about it.
They have they got an idea about it. And you have religions and denominations built up on that same principle of who they think Jesus is. And Jesus is in everything, and he's this, and he's that, and he's the other. But nope, we got the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Nope, we got, listen, he said this, until we all attain oneness in the faith. And not only oneness, but that we will fully come into comprehension, full understanding of accurate knowledge of the Son of God. Then after we have done all that, he said, then you will arrive.
Oh, yeah.
We have many people who think they're already there. They've already arrived. But obviously, we as a body have not arrived because you still see the struggles, you still see the contentions, you still see the disunity, you still see the frustration and the fussing, and we're better than this, and they're saved, and they ain't saved, and they're making it, and you're not making it, and all this crazy foolishness that is going on. He said, we haven't come into that mature place yet. He said that we might arrive, that we may come into the full understanding at really, quote unquote, really mature manhood. In other words, the completeness of personality, which is nothing less than the standard height of God, of Christ's own perfection.
So I have a question for you then. What you're reading and what I've read, and even looking at the Message Bible, the way that it says, he handed out gifts above and below, filled heaven with his gifts, filled the earth with his gifts. He handed out gifts of apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastor teachers to train Christ's followers in skilled servant work.
Mm-hmm.
You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Working within Christ's body, the church, until we're moving rhythmically and easily with each other. Efficient. Lord Jesus, mm-hmm. that word.
Where there's a flow.
That's
not only
it.
Are you efficient, but you're effective.
That's it. And
and graceful in response to God's Son. Fully mature adults, fully developed within and without, fully alive like Christ. And then it goes on to say, no prolonged infancies among us, please.
He said, please.
Please. Will not tolerate babes in the womb, small children who are an easy mark for imposters. And that's what we're trying to really work on now, because we got too many people who are being led away, led astray. And like I said, when you don't know this word, then somebody can come with a Bible sounding, you know, message, or a Bible sprinkled message, and it'll sound just like, well, that they said it. They read that Bible quote. And some of the things, and Prophetess can tell you, we've been going over and looking at some of these quotes that people have that sound good, but they're really not biblical.
Mm-mm.
And while people walking around feeling, well, you know, I thought that was the word because they read the scripture and came with it, and I thought that was it. No, that was not it. And you don't know it because you're listening, you're waiting on somebody to give you the word instead of you getting in the word to get it yourself. Amen?
Amen.
This word is alive. My brothers and sister, is alive.
Yes, it is.
And when you are mature, you can go in there and eat to your heart's content.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? When you come to church, then God will give you the ability to move and work with others, and it'll help balance your diet. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
But if it's like getting vitamins all the time and never eating no food, that vitamin ain't going to do you no good.
That's right. Amen. And so he just said, just going right back into it for just a half a second, that we will all become mature, perfected.
Mm.
Amen. In really understanding the fullness of Christ and the completeness found in him. In other words, there's no other, songwriter said, the safest place in the whole wide world is in the will of God.
Yeah.
And when we really fully understand that you cannot do anything without him, that your life, your breath, your whole being, your existence needs to be found in him, and that you need to be satisfied.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
With where he has you, that you need to be satisfied with his purpose for you.
You know, that's really hard for a lot of people.
I know it is. I know it is.
They're not content with anything.
Mm-mm.
You know, if the Bible says that hell and man's eyes and hell and man's eyes are never full.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem that we see is that they are so so busy running after what I can get.
Yes, sir.
You know, that they're not satisfied with what they have. Let's quickly go over here again to 2 Timothy, amen, and we'll go 6 and 6, amen.
You mean 4 and 6?
No, we're going 1 okay. Timothy, sorry about that. That's what I'm looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, help me with my glasses. Amen. And some of you out there saying, ooh, you live just a little bit longer, and you be saying what I'm saying right now. Lord, help me see this. Amen. Look what it says. It says, a devout life, reading from the Message Bible, a devout life does bring wealth, but it's the rich simplicity of being yourself before God. When we look at this in the New King James Version, it says, now godliness
mm-hmm.
is with contentment.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord, that word
mm-hmm.
is great gain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See, we don't like contentment.
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. Huh? Because contentment tells me I don't have an argument before God concerning where he has blessed me and where I am.
That's it.
It means that I have to learn how to be content or happy with Jesus regardless. Amen? You see that?
Oh, yeah.
Huh? Let's go over here to Philippians 4 and 11. Amen? Let's just look at that just a little bit. Huh? It says, and Paul here is speaking. It says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Ooh, I can't be content. Y'all don't understand. Look what he goes on and says, 12 verse. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Look what he says next, because we like this scripture, but we don't like the scripture before that, because it says that every time you go through something, some type of processing, God is trying to work on you. But we always grab this scripture right here. It goes on in 13th verse, says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Okay, so if he's talking about in context, then he's talking about being content. That's what this passage is talking about. You see, 10 verse, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. In other words, there are people who wanted to do better but can't do better. Meanwhile, you're going to have to hold on. And the way to hold on is, if God didn't allow it to come through, be content with what you have where you are at. Amen. See, when we are looking for the cars, the houses, we're looking for the material things, we forget all the spiritual things that God has already blessed us with. See, and if the material is temporary, but the real is the spiritual, when God blessed you, he gave you something that was more substantial, you see, than you getting. See, your car, you drive it off the lot, it depreciates with each mile. You understand? The house you get, if you don't do something to it, it'll depreciate. Sometimes they'll hold their value. If you put money into it, it might appreciate, but give it time and don't paint it and don't do nothing else. Don't take care of the floors. Don't take care of anything in it and see how quickly it depreciates. The same thing when we look spiritually. As you begin to invest in God, God begins to make sure that there's an investment back in you. In other words, whatever God has done, he has already done it already. We went into Ephesians 1. Grace, praise be to God who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing and gift, amen, in the heavenly places through Christ Jesus. We're in him. We're sitting with him. We have the blessings, every spiritual blessing.
Every.
So God has already given you the bounty, amen. But while we're here on the earth, the devil wants us to see the temporal part that you may be lacking. And here's Paul talking to them about their generosity, but they lacked opportunity. Y'all wanted to do, but you didn't have opportunity. So he goes on to speak, now that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Brothers and sisters, we got to get back to that. And if we start preaching contentment, all these mega ministries out here preaching your best day now and all your money come to us, guess what? Those ministries are going to dry up because the gospel is being preached.
And let me say this, people of God, if we just drop down one scripture, just drop down in one verse, he said, I'm still reading out of the Amplified version, it says, for we brought nothing into the world.
Yeah.
I don't care how many degrees you got. I don't care how much money you got. I don't care how much prestige you have. I don't care how many people bow down and in the awe of your greatness. The bottom line is, when it's all said and done at the end of the day, you will not, when you leave this earth and take your last breath, it is not going with you.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just here to tell you. And in fact, the reality is some of us out there waiting for certain people to get gone so that we already have divided up the spoil before the people even have left our body. This is mine over here. You take this and I got this over here. And that's what we're going to do. In fact, we're going to write this little secret clause into the will to make sure that we get our cut. But he said, when you understand that you brought nothing in the world, you obviously can't take anything out of it, but if you have food and clothing with these, we shall be content. That word content, satisfied, which is a sense of inward sufficiency. And the problem with many of us today, not only in the church, but outside of the church, just in the world in general, is that we do not have inward sufficiency. We are not happy with ourselves.
And we're definitely not happy with Jesus.
We're not happy with
alone.
Jesus because we're trying to twist God's arm to get him to do things for us so that we can be greater than, we can be glorious than, we can be mightier than. None of it is giving him glory.
One of the baddest things that we have found and that we came to understand is that there are people now in religious theologies and teachings out that teach you that we want the presence of God to come in for prosperity and wealth and abundance. That's the only reason why they worship, so that his presence will come in, so that they can try to get
things.
You know, material things and stuff from his presence.
Mm-hmm.
And that's erroneous doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
All of this that we're speaking of, the prophetess went back to 1 Timothy 6. Amen. And I'm going to read Philippians 4 and 10 in the Message Bible because I want y'all to see, you know, we're not just talking about being content because we don't have anything. No, far from that. We actually have taken time and just said, Lord, we're happy with you alone. And when we said that, then God began to bring other things to us. Favor began to open up doors that we couldn't afford to open. We walked in them, and the bill was paid. Things happened because God blessed us, because we submitted to him, and we were content. Amen?
Amen.
And I found out, I said it before, I was working as a law enforcement officer and doing all the overtime and all the projecting and trying to get extra money in, and we had a hard time keeping finances together. The Lord brought me off the job in 2008 and then brought us down here to Florida. I haven't worked since 2008. But we have more now than we had when I was working my tail off. Now tell me God is not able.
Mm-hmm.
See, we have, and I told someone else this earlier, I said we become conditioned to receiving a two-week check.
Here we go.
So we have no faith for long term because we are dependent on that two-week check. If you work and you go in the office and ain't got your check, your world seems to fall apart. Huh? Let you walk in there and they say, well, we had a problem. We're not sure if they're going to get to us next week. You're trying to figure out who you can borrow from and what you can do for the next 7 days, 5 days. Huh? Because your outlook is only as far as your next resource. Amen?
Amen.
But when you have a faith walk, you don't know when your next resource is. So God has to give you favor and bless you and sustain you. Amen. If you're not content with Jesus alone, this faith walk will not work for you. Amen.
Amen.
Look what it says here. Philippians 4:10 in the Message Bible. I'm glad in God, far happier than you would ever guess. Ain't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
Happy that you're showing, that you're again showing such strong concern for me, not that you ever quit praying or thinking about me. You just had no chance to show it. Actually, I don't have a sense of needing anything personally. I've learned how to be quite content wherever my circumstances. I'm just happy with little as with much as with little. I found the recipe of being happy, whether full or hungry, hands full or hands empty. Whatever I have, whatever I am, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. I don't mean that your help didn't mean that your help didn't mean a lot to me. It did.
It was a beautiful thing that you came alongside me in my troubles. I love how he says this. He said, look, regardless of what I got, what I don't have, I've resolved within myself that I'm going to be happy with Jesus. He's the one who makes me who I am. So he's saying, in my process of having and not having, and being full and being hungry, and obtaining and losing, regardless of where I am, I'm still happy with Jesus.
Amen. And that point, satisfaction.
That's it.
Inward satisfaction. But now, we're not preaching just against money. We're not saying, Apostle and I are not saying you don't need money for nothing. You know, money is, you know, spit on it. We're not saying any of that. Mm-hmm. We're not saying there's anything wrong. If God chooses you to be wealthy, if he chooses you to be wealthy, because there are some people that are anointed to do that, because he knows that the kingdom needs to be financed.
Yes,
and
it does.
He trusts
yes,
them
it does.
With his money that they will finance the kingdom. In the meantime, they're living well also. He said this. Nothing's wrong. We're saying this. I'm saying this. Nothing's wrong with having money. But, 1 Timothy 6 and 9, but those who crave to be rich.
Oh, yeah. Lose that focus.
Crave to be rich. In other words, that's all you're eating, dreaming, thinking. That's all you want. And you're trying to find the next scheme, the next happen up, and who can I pay this? How can I pay into this? How can I do this? How can I work this? How can I make this happen? If I put five on it, then I flip it, and then it's going to be. Listen, those who crave to be rich will fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish, useless, godless, and hurtful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction and miserable perishing. Why? Because the love of money is the root of all evils, plural. Not evil, evils.
Yeah. Now, keep reading that right there.
It is through this craving
mm-hmm.
that some have been led astray and have wandered from the faith.
Now we start to get into how prosperity theologies mm-hmm. and these other modern Gnostic theologies, how they came to be. When we stop preaching Jesus, we have to preach something.
We sure did.
Well, let's stop saying we. When they stop preaching Jesus, they have to preach something. So now instead of having pastors, you have life coaches. Because motivational speaker sounded too secular. So they wanted to make it more prestigious. So they made it a life coach.
Certified
life coach instead of a counselor. We're a coach. We're going to help you. It does me wonderful. Well, I love it when I see you doing better. So I'm going to help you to do better and help you to live. Okay, wait a minute. Hold on. Let's just preach the gospel.
And
the Holy Spirit will guide us. The Bible said, remember, it is the Lord that gives you the power to get wealth.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to run after money from a shyster.
Okay.
All you have to do is serve the Lord, and he will supply. Amen?
All you need.
There it is.
And here's the thing, people of God. God knows what you can handle.
Oh, no. There we go.
He knows what you can handle spiritually. He knows what you can handle monetarily. So you trying to run after the man that's making $100,000 or six figures. Well, that man may be anointed to handle the pressure that it takes to make that type of money and to maintain that thing.
Keep his focus.
Without getting choked out with all the wit, with all everything that's going on around him. But for some of us, we're all called to a certain level. I don't care how much you beg God. I don't care if you give everything that you have in your household to him. If God has not ordained you to be, or has only ordained you to be at such a level monetarily, you're not going past that mark.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, satisfaction.
And contentment.
And let me tell you this, just stepping aside for just a second. The bottom line is God has already mapped out each and every one of our lives, what it's going to be before the foundation of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get upset by what he's already ordained for your life. That means all the decreeing, all the declaring, because we all doing a whole lot of that. My money cometh unto me now. I decree and declare wealth. My baskets are full. My this is empty. This won't be empty. This is going down. This is coming up. You can do all the decreeing and declaring you want, but God said every word that comes forth it by His word is the only thing that He's going to honor.
Oh, Lord.
So if what you decreeing and declaring is not what He has already ordained or honored or spoken over your life, you wasting breath, time, you going broke, you becoming frustrated, you becoming disenchanted, and just flat out angry with God because everybody else is prospering around me. But if that's His will for their life, I think it was Peter that just be turned for a second. You can help me, Apostle. I remember, I think it was Peter that was talking to Jesus, and Jesus began to describe to him and tell him what his future was going to be, that he was going to be led away, basically telling him about his ending. And he said, well, what about that other man? Mm-hmm. And Jesus said, if I choose to keep him here until I return, that's my business.
Yeah.
Right there, that passage of Scripture opened up to me to let me know that God has already ordained my life.
It is.
So some of us are frustrated because we're asking for things from Him that He never ordained for our life.
We looked at it and it looked good on a showroom floor, but you can't afford the maintenance payments. You can't afford the insurance for it. And you definitely can't afford that payment. So leave it on that floor. One thing you got to understand, if Galatians 3:26, okay? We are, it says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ, listen up, have put on Christ. Now, if you have put on Christ, then that means if we got people who get baptized and they go down cussing and come up cussing, they go down in the water, whoremonging, get up whoremonging. See, getting wet don't mean nothing. If you don't go in and change while you under the water, it don't mean nothing. You went in a dry sinner and came out a wet one. You went in a liar, came out a wet liar. See, baptism is for those who have said in their hearts and their minds that they are leaving the old lifestyle. In your baptism, you take off the old and you put on the new. In this right here, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ, you see that? When you were baptized in Him, you put on Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, why is that good? Let's keep reading. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female. So all of you who are out there being told that you don't measure up because you're not part of this and you aren't that and that you're female and that, you know, okay, listen, let's get rid of all this male chauvinistic specialized gospel for us it's only and nobody else and all the rest of that stuff. If God called you, if you have been baptized into Christ, then you have your identity as a child of God.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
See, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, verse 29. You see that?
Yeah.
And heirs according to the promise. In other words, when God, when you got saved, the blood of Jesus gave you a transfusion.
Amen.
You see that? Now you're no more of this world. You're of His kingdom. You see that? And we cry out, Abba Father, to Him. And because we are His, then the heir or the inheritance comes to us. I'm trying to get you to understand something. You don't have to chase another blessing. You are the blessing. Huh? Fourth chapter. Now I say, first verse. Now I say that an heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave. So all we're doing right now is we're trying to get you to change your mentality and mature. Amen. Though he is master of all, but is under guardians and steward until the time appointed by the Father. Even so, we were children. We were under the bondage of the elements of this world. But when the fullness of time had come,
And I think that's what we're all waiting on. I said it before, God has given you every spiritual blessing, and connected to that spiritual blessing is your material manifestation. You see it? But you can't get your spiritual blessing that is given to you until you mature into it. And when you mature into it spiritually, then you'll see a physical manifestation of that blessing. In other words, you don't have to chase the Mercedes. Live right, you'll end up getting a Mercedes. You see that? I gave the example before. I said, it would be foolish for my son to be sitting out here a 10 years old and I give him the keys to a Jaguar. He ain't ready for that. Huh? Even though that might be his car and I bought it for him, he ain't ready to drive that car. Huh? So even when he gets to 16 years old, he's still not ready for those keys. There is some maturing that he has to understand what this force power is and what it does. He has to understand how to operate a machinery at that level. We want stuff because we see it, but we're not ready to handle it. And when God doesn't just give it to us, then we're ready to poke our lips out and have an attitude, and I ain't praying, and I ain't fasting no more, and I ain't giving my tithes and offering. I'm going to sit back over here, and you know, because all I asked for was that little thing over there. That little thing would have took you clear up out of here. I say, clean up out of here. Thank God he didn't give you what you asked for. But he gave you what you needed. You asked for that Jaguar, and he gave you a scooter. He gave you a bicycle. I know some people, I'm going to take you way, way back. We have bikes. And y'all remember there was those patches. Your bike would act up, and you get it flat, and you got to try to figure out taking your tire off and taking off the tire from the rim and pulling out the inner tube and trying to figure out where the flat was. And then you got to put that cement glue on and that patch and get one of those matches and blow it out and try to get it before. Yeah, I took you way back, didn't I? You can't take care of your little bike. You ain't ready for your motor scooter. You can't take care of that motor scooter. You ain't ready for a motorcycle. You can't take care of a motorcycle. You ain't ready for that hoopty car. You can't take care of that hoopty car. Stop asking for a brand spanking new off the showroom floor. You ain't ready for it. All of these are maturity levels, amen? And as you begin to get them, they begin to show you how to survive at the next level. The problem is when you don't deal with this lower stuff because it's beneath you, you don't know how to handle and maintain stuff at a higher level. That's why the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required.
Yeah.
Be faithful over a few things and you'll be master over. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
God is trying to mature us so he can release what is ours, from the guardians and the stewards. People, listen to what I'm saying to you. There are things that belong to you, and God is trying to provoke your growth.
But you fight and every step of
the way. And while you're fighting it, like you said, prophetess, every step of the way, God leaves it with the steward and the guardian.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll watch others around you have stuff that you should have.
Mm-hmm.
And all it is you need to grow up and mature.
That's it.
Huh? Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of this world. But when the fullness of time have come, God sent forth a son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Well, that's why I get happy, because I understand Jesus did more than just take away my sins. He brought me into an inheritance. You see that? And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. In other words, you got to stop acting in your slave mentality. That's how you acted when you were under the bondage of the elements of the world, or when you were in your sinful life. You had to scheme to get stuff. You had to trick and do all you could to get what you thought you wanted. It was mine. It's due me. Yeah, that's what you did when, you know, so you was robbing Peter to pay Paul, huh? You're throwing rocks with your right hand, smiling and shaking hands with your other hand. All that other stuff, you know, trying to get ahead. You know, you got to do what you got to do. No, all you got to do now, baby, is live right. Live the life. That's it. We talk about prophetic atmosphere. The atmosphere of those who are prophetic is that we seek to see. And we are not disillusioned by the smoke and the clouds. If anything, we live in the clouds. Well, what are you talking about? The Shekinah glory of the Lord. Moses went up, and when he came down, everybody could see that he had been in the presence of the Lord, because it shone across his face. That's the whole thing. Prophetic atmosphere is about getting in the face of God and dwelling in that atmosphere. You should be able to tell when you have been there.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? And when we can tell that you've been there, we look to hear what God has spoken to you. But if you're only going into the presence of the Lord to see what you can do for you and what you can get for you and get some more stuff and show everybody how great and wonderful you are, because you heard something from, listen, you got this all backwards. You got it all wrong. And that's why we have to call you into accountability. People are walking away dying when the word of deliverance and life is in your mouth. But for $50, $100, $250, $500, you ain't speaking, because you know your gift is only as good as I can only give you. You want $1,000 word, but you're only giving $3. Well, listen, if all they have is $3, that's more. That's the widow's mite. Huh? If God gave you the word, release the word. We're children of God. We're heirs. You see that? Through Christ. Why are y'all trying to hold up progress in the kingdom for your selfish needs? God is going to judge. Amen.
Already judging.
He is.
Let the truth be known. He's already judging. And we got to be careful. And I'm going to go back into Ephesians 4, bring us back to Ephesians 4 and 14 as we conclude this matter. And we got to be careful running after these people who we know good and well that bring in different voices. That because they can pull a crowd, I got to be there so I can hear my word.
That's it.
You better know who's connected to who. You running after so-and-so, you better know who so-and-so's covering is, who runs in so-and-so's circles, because like spirits travel together.
That's right.
And I don't care how accurate that word is, I'm looking at your godly connections. And if you connected to crooked and crazy, you crooked and crazy, because after a while you're eating from that same table that they're feeding you, and after a while your word's going to be crooked and crazy. Your lifestyle is going to be crooked and crazy.
That means that you get in the same slot from the same trough that mm-hmm. they getting it from.
From the sewer. But why do I say all of this? Bringing you right back to Ephesians 4 and 14. Why? So then we may no longer be children tossed like ships to and fro between chance gusts of teachings. Ooh, that sounds new. That's a fresh word right there. Let's go. Woo!
No, that's just a breeze.
Yeah. Ooh, that's God over there. Come on, let's go. Woo!
That's a wind, but it's not, that's a breeze, but it's not the wind of the Spirit.
He said, every gust of teaching and wavering with every changing wind of doctrine. So wherever the word goes, or wherever the next hype message goes, there you go. Talking about, that's got to be Jesus. That over there got to be the Lord. That's got to be him. He said, listen, the prey of the cunning and the cleverness of unscrupulous men, gamblers engaged in every shifting form of trickery in inventing errors. In inventing. These people are inventing mess, inventing words, inventing religions, inventing different errors so that they can purposely mislead you. And if you are not careful and don't get into this word for yourself, you will be one of those ships tossed to and fro. And for some of us, things haven't been working since you left where God planted you because you've been running after the Pied Piper who has not been anointed to pray or speak over your life.
Or they was anointed at one time but has long walked away.
The anointing has lifted. They become their own show. Talking about the only person they need covering from is Jesus. The devil is a lie. We all are held accountable and have to answer to accountability for somebody. He said, but rather let your lives, he said, in the midst of all that, get away from that mess, and in everything, let your lives lovingly express truth. In all things.
Yes.
Speaking truth. Dealing truth. Living truth.
Lord Jesus.
In other words, holiness is right. Sanctification is fine. Living for Jesus alone and being satisfied in him is its purpose.
You're not going to get past this. I don't care how fast you run or how far you run, you're not walking past this. God is not winking and you know, letting it lie, if you will. He's calling us into holiness. And I think that that is something that we need to really deal with. When we look at holiness, holiness is a lifestyle. It is a way of thinking. It is a way of living. No, it doesn't tell me that I don't ever err. It tells me that I'm striving so much to be like Jesus that I err less and less and less and less. You know, there's something that I remember. There was an opportunity that was presented to me after I'd been saved a while, and I had to look at it and say, you know what? I'm good.
Okay.
It's like, you crazy, man. If I was, listen, I'll come too far. Lord Jesus, I wish I could preach around. I come too far to go back on a frivolous little maybe. I don't have time for that. The things that God has placed in my life, the things that he has said, amen, are so great that I'm looking forward to the manifestation of them. So, Lord, give us witty inventions. You know, give us the strength. Give us the knowledge. Give us the understanding to get the wealth we need so that we can do the work in the kingdom. Huh? When we say nothing lacking, it's because we're not running after all kind of stuff. Yeah. And that means that since our focus is on him, he can focus back on us without worrying where our gaze is. We have our eyes affixed to Jesus. And I'm not going to blink. See, when you have that, then God can begin to do some things for you. And the world will try its best to find a reason and a way to get you to blink, to turn your head, to do something else. But you don't have to ever worry about that. God is in control, and he is on top of this matter. Amen?
Amen.
And since he is, we know that whatever God says and how he says it, we're going to be good. Amen? Amen. Prophetess, well, we're at the end of the broadcast. Why don't you go ahead and pray us out?
Amen. Come on, let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we bless your people, God. We speak life over your people, God.
Yes.
We speak that the word that has gone forth, Father, will begin to ground them and root them in your way and root them in the understanding of who you are. And God, begin to shake and shift every man-made doctrine that is living in your people that do not that does not represent you. We ask that you with now in the name of Jesus. Give your people clarity and hope, which is you, satisfaction, which is in you, in Jesus' name. Now, if you're not saved, please pray this prayer with me. Father, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart. Forgive me for all my sin. Wash me in the blood. I'll serve you all my days. In Jesus' name, amen. You prayed that prayer. Welcome to the kingdom of God.
Yes, yes.
We here at Christ the King Redemptive Ministries are praying for you that God will lead you spiritually to a church. Bible-believing church, men and women of God who will raise you, train you, help mature you, and point you to the way of Jesus, that you will fulfill your kingdom, destiny, and lifestyle. Amen. Amen. Hey, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. We want to hear from you. Please pray about becoming a vision partner and a prayer partner with this ministry, helping us to push the gospel and spread it around the world. Because why? People need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ.
That's
Amen.
Right.
If you're in the Cocoa area, Central Florida area, join us here, right here at Christ the County. King. Amen. Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121. We have services every Tuesday at 7, every Thursday at 7, every Saturday at 9:30, and every Sunday at 8:30 live. We want to see your face in the place. God will meet you here. I guarantee you, you come expecting a miracle. Thank you. Be blessed in the Lord and have a wonderful night.
I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministry, saying we'll see you on Saturday morning at 9:30. Be blessed in the name of the Lord. We love you, and we love you to life.